the matter with you? You're acting like you're nervous or something.
Well, yeah, I am.
What are you nervous about? I'm the one that's under the gun here. Trial starts tomorrow.
You want to know what I'm nervous about? I'll tell you what I'm nervous about. I am in the dark here with all this legal crap. I have no idea what's going on. All I know is you're screwing up, and I can't help.
You lent me a little camera, didn't you?
Oh, Vinny, I'm watching you go down in flames, and you're bringing me with you, and I can't do anything about it.
And?
Well, I hate to bring it up because I know you got enough pressure on you already. But we agreed to get married as soon as you won your first case. Meanwhile, 10 years later, my niece, the daughter of my sister, is getting married. My biological clock is ticking like this. And the way this case is going, I ain't never getting married.
Lisa, I don't need this. I swear to God, I do not need this right now, okay? I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. An idiot who wants to fight me for $200. Slaughtered pigs. Giant loud whistles. I ain't slept in 5 days. I got no money. A dress code problem. And a little murder case which, in the balance, holds the lives of 2 innocent kids. Not to mention your biological clock. My career. Your life. Our marriage. And let me see. What else can we pile on? Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
Maybe it was a bad time to bring it up.
Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Daniel.
And this is Douglas.
What are you guys doing today? Douglas, you bought a new bear.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I don't care what you think, Daniel.
No. My goodness.
Yes. This one is called
so
Duvel.
That was weird to think here what you thought about the bear.
It is Bear de Specialité Belge. Sounds like a Belgian special bear.
I'm pretty sure it's all right.
It's okay.
The homeless people.
Yeah.
The winos.
So
Damien, what are you doing?
I have to, and with the taking the draft and make sure, you know, that everything, yes.
Not the puppies. Made it into the beer correctly, I'm sure. Right.
It's hops, my dear sir.
Sorry. Lime. Don't know what the hell you people put in beer. I'm alright. For most of that. Gran Turismo is actually coming up.
Really excited. You sure about that? They said that last time and then it didn't happen.
Yeah, but people have discs.
So Damien, when should I expect your sabbatical?
No, so it will come out on the 26th.
Oh, well, we're not doing the podcast.
Right, but the problem with that is...
there's a whole month after that.
No. Amazon, who I'm going to order it through... the day before the announcement, they're like, sure, you can pre-order this. That's fine. And then the day after they made the announcement, game rankings came out and they're like, look, the tracking on this game has gone up by 13,000%. So you guys who are hoping to order it, if you don't put any money down now, not going to happen. There's no way anyone who's ordering it now has any chance of getting
it. So you pre-ordered it 3 months ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my Amazon had my money put on.
So you'll get it all over before we come back next year.
Yeah, so I'll just, I mean, when I get it, I'll come on for my final podcast, as a farewell show.
On another note, this is a very bold beer.
Okay. So moving on with what we usually talk about on this podcast, movies. Douglas, what have you been watching this week?
I might like this bear.
He's been watching bear ads, that's what we got.
Duvel.
There's 2 you.
As you two can see from my list, what I watch list is very small. It's very small. So this week, I know I've spoken about this show, but I may have spoken about it maybe a year ago. It's been a long time since I stopped watching it, and then I started watching it again. I finally finished Pillars of the Earth, and that was a period miniseries type deal about a builder and how he tried to build this chapel and all sorts of nonsense happens. And it wasn't bad. I mean, I can understand where anybody would say that it's not that great, it's not their thing, and it's...
It sounds like BBC.
I think it started out on ITV.
No, I don't think it was ITV, but I think it was British, and Starz bought it out, I believe, but Starz kind of know when you watch it, they'll say it's a Starz exclusive, so I'm not sure
how that works. I'm sure that works for the States.
Yeah. Or Starz original programming, sorry, is what they say. So I'm not certain what the deal is.
Showtime did that for Diary of a Sex Woman, Diary of a Hooker
show. Did they call it that? They called it original programming?
I'm not sure, but I'm sure they did in the advertising somewhere, because they do that with all of their shows.
Okay, well then, in that case, yeah, I'm pretty sure it came from England.
Because we know that for sure is a British ITV show.
Yeah, we know that one, yeah, definitely. Not sure about this Tom Builder one, but we'll see. Either way, I watched it, I kind of enjoyed it. I liked where it went. It kind of went through the whole story of this builder building the chapel and then passing on the reins and how long it took and all sorts of, like, lots of side stories to deal with lords and ladies and peons becoming whatever. So it was, you know, it was fun to watch. Also, this week, I watched Singing in the Rain. Of course I did. And overall, on a whole, I thought it was a fairly good movie. But I did not like... And generally, I don't like this in a lot of musicals when this happens. There is... So all of the scenes, most of the musical and the acting mesh well together. And they push the story along, and one makes sense when put beside the other. But there is this one big number. And I've talked to Andrew about this already. And Andrew's just like, but it's so good. And I can't talk to him anymore. So there is this one number where essentially the story, the whole story of Singing in the Rain is that you've got Gene Kelly, who is a big movie star, along with his... side lady, I can't remember what her name is. Actually, I don't know anybody else in this movie. but he has his leading lady along with him, and then there is a change. He was in silent films, but now talking films are the rage, and so they're making their first talking film together, but she can't talk. Or I shouldn't say that, she has a horrible New Yorkie accent.
Uh-huh.
And so it doesn't play well on the big screen, and they have to bring in somebody to do her voiceover for her.
So it's Millie Vanille,
kind of, essentially. But really, really the problem I have with this movie comes in when
the dancing starts.
Not when the dancing starts. I actually really like all of the dancing in this movie. But there's a point where, so they are making a movie within this movie, and the movie tests really badly with people, and then they have to change it to a musical. And so when they're deciding what to do with the musical or with the new musical, Gene Kelly goes to the big head honcho over at the studio and says to him, okay, we've decided to make it to a musical, that will do better, and I think that we should start the musical like this. And then I'm bombarded with 15 to 20 minutes of what the musical, which was the movie that is within this movie, Singing in the Rain, will be. And clearly to me, what that seems like is they had an hour already shot, and they're like, shit, we don't have anything else to do with this story. Nothing else to do with this story. You know what? We're gonna have to just put a random song in there.
That sounds like
and then we're gonna finish. I think that was horrible.
Okay.
I loved it. I loved the song and the bit on its own, and I loved everything else. just put those two things together and it didn't mesh well, and it was kind of annoying to me. Yes, Andrew.
So I would like to report. Even though I know that's hardly a word in my language, because it's actually English. But anyways, it's very strong.
That's your reason, eh?
One of your favorite movies, and I know it because you own it, is downstairs on your shelf, is Moulin Rouge.
I own movies, I don't know.
Okay.
You admit to liking
this
movie.
I admit to enjoying this movie a lot, yes.
In that movie, there is a scene very similar to the one you just complained about in Singing in the Rain.
I'm sorry.
Which scene is that? Of which dost thou speak?
It's the scene in The Elephant when Satine, played by...
Wait, no, that's ridiculous. What sort of movie has... What, a scene inside of an elephant? Andrew, clearly you are drinking a bit too much.
Douglas, what happened to your legs? You don't have one to stand on.
Where the Duke comes in and he finds Ewan McGregor and all of the other people, the theatre people.
Ewan McGregor
was
in that movie?
Yeah,
yes,
he was.
No, yeah, I should watch that movie.
You've never seen Moulin Rouge? Holy shit.
They're singing in that movie, right?
All right. Okay. So I'll leave you alone. God damn it, I love that movie. And he comes in and he's like, what are all these people doing here? And immediately they say, we're going to pitch you a play.
Yeah,
and they sing it.
The one thing, though, that I have... No, in my defense, because I actually do have a retort for you. The one thing about it is the difference between Singing in the Rain and Moulin Rouge. Singing in the Rain, I was fully immersed in what this movie would become. Nice. Right? I saw exactly what would happen. I saw Gene Kelly as whatever this actor's name was, playing whatever the character in the movie was, right? And it was almost as if they had already filmed it, put in all the post-production and everything. The difference is, excuse me, in Moulin Rouge, it's, yes, you kind of see, you get a glimpse of what the show will be in that scene, but really what it is them covering for the fact that Ewan McGregor was kind of finagling with Nicole Kidman. And they're like, what should we do? What should we do? Oh,
oh yeah,
wait.
That is there as well.
Yeah, but
it's the same kind of concept.
It's kind of, except for the fact that it's not full-on immersion in this second entity that is apart from the movie. It is, oh, let's cover things up and we'll kind of give you a glimpse of what it should be. And it wasn't like, so in Singing in the Rain, I got the set, the backdrop, everything. In this, it was just like, we will stay in the elephant, we will stay here, and we will just kind of give you an overview of what the movie is, because that is our cover story for what these two people were just doing. So there was no, I will now be a completely different movie. This flowed fully with the rest of the film.
Just, I mean, I've seen neither of these movies.
You haven't seen Singing in the Rain? I would have expected
but,
you to have somebody seen that one.
What you guys were just talking about sounded like a fever dream. There's elephants.
I know.
I was trying to keep up, but the more you guys went, I'm like, what in God's name is happening inside of these movies?
Watch Moulin Rouge, if not just for the song, their version of the Sting song Roxanne. That song.
That's a really good, yeah. I haven't remembered
that. Song is brilliant.
I had that on my computer for so long.
It's not going to happen. I won't even lie to you guys. It's never going to happen.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Maybe one.
You see what I find hilarious is you guys always complain about how people magically burst into song and you hate how they do this in these films. However, you guys love Dr. Horrible, which does the same exact thing.
Yeah, but you know, that's not even attempting to be serious.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the difference.
But at the same time, you see, I don't mind somebody bursting into song.
Right.
I mind when somebody bursts into song and it feels wrong. It
right.
feels
500
forced.
500 Days of Summer, right? When they burst into song, that was whimsical, and you understood that. But when all of, like all the musicals that
actually,
you're talking
that might
about,
be my least favorite part of that movie.
They are doing it as an actual part of the movie to drive the story along and to build characters. And it's hard to do that when there's people twirling and shit. I love it.
I might have rerun Singing in the Rain this week.
Oh yeah? I haven't watched that yet. By the way, there's one last thing that I saw just a while ago. Okay. Up? No, I didn't watch
it. No, I said okay.
Oh.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Wow. I'm seeing things now. So yes.
Puns maybe?
No, heffalumps. Heffalumps and woozles, okay? I watched, it wasn't even a movie, it was a scene that I haven't seen in a very long time that just always has resonated with me. It's fantastic. It was a scene from a little movie. A little known film, one of Andrew's oddities that he likes. It was about, you know, a young lady who had risen to the top of her society. And someone decided to let her know that maybe she was not well equipped for the job. And, well, she had to take matters into her own hands. But she did let everybody know, all those sons of bitches, she let them know that, you know, if it ever happened again, she takes her fucking heads. But yeah.
Just like that fucker?
What?
Just like that fucker?
Anybody else?
How long did it take you?
No, yeah. I saw Kill Bill
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Although by the time he got to there, it was pretty obvious.
Yeah. So Douglas was rewatching that bit in Kill Bill, and it resonates with him because he cut off a Japanese band's head a few years back, and he was
I love listening to the soundtrack when that part comes up. So awesome. Thank you, Tarantino. Thank you. Alright, so Andrew, what have you watched? I'm changing the order.
Okay. This week I started off by watching A Life Less Ordinary, which is a Danny Boyle film starring Ewan McGregor, Cameron Diaz, also including Delroy Lindo and Holly Hunter. The film is basically a romantic comedy with a kidnapping thing in it, and it sits itself as a high level average. It doesn't jump out of that average setting, but at the same time,
so it's average.
It's average, but at the same time, Danny Boyle adds enough things, especially with the characters from Delroy Lindo and Holly Hunter, that make me just want to rewatch it as soon as I'm done. But at the end, you know, you watch something where you feel you can't call it the greatest thing ever, you know.
But because Boyle's name is on it,
no, because of
bias. Fanboyness will not allow.
And for people who don't know what this movie is about, Ewan McGregor loses his job, and because he lost his job, he goes and he kidnaps his boss's daughter, which is Cameron Diaz, and it's all a plot by heaven.
It's a big hit.
It's all a plot by heaven to bring these two people together. Two angels played by Delroy Lindo and Holly Hunter come down.
So it's dogma.
And they pose all of these ridiculous scenarios to try and make their relationship, the Cameron Diaz and Ewan McGregor relationship, happen. Like, they go to the state.
It's like serendipity. How many movies are they going to mix into this one?
Like, you heard that clip at the beginning of the last podcast. That was from A Life Less Ordinary, which was a bit of the film which I really, really liked.
Speaking of the last podcast, I enjoyed that editing of the two trailers together.
Thank you. I tried really hard.
That was good. So. It was really good. Because it sounded like one fluid.
It really did, yeah. Yeah. For a second, I was like, what?
Like when I heard Ashton Kutcher, I'm like, wait. I'm like, well, that's good work.
Thank you. I tried. So yeah, I recommend it as a really good rental if you can find it in a shop.
Right.
Also this week I saw Eazy-E, the new film with Emma
Stone. Good?
Yes.
Awesome. We don't need to know what it was. Was it good?
It
was crap. Okay, move on.
It's not crap. It's a good film.
So
it's also really it's also it stays in that average section, but it really panders to the females. Right. So for us, it's like we can see bits where it's really funny. Like there's this character played by Thomas Hayden Church, otherwise known to me and Douglas as Lowell from Wings.
Why does he do anything else? Why don't they just get... Because I hate him in everything. So he just needs to get back together with Steve Weber and whoever else he needs to
something
talk to.
Something about money.
And just be like, listen, we need a reunion. Wings 2. Where like...
And you know it's going to suck anyways.
Right,
and
Wings 2 would be cancelled in what, like 2 days?
Anyways, like his character, he's really good, and he's this one scene where he just lists out all of the high school cliches you can think of because he's a teacher and he sees the guy smoking and he's like, "No drugs for pugs, you mess with the bull, you get the horns," and he goes on further to go on any other random cliche you can think of and moves on with his day. And the movie is so self-referential to all of those high school comedies that we know and love, and it wants to be a John Hughes film, but it doesn't hit that mark, especially for me. But I think females especially would like it a lot more than me.
This bear is really strong.
Oh, you thought I was lying. Okay.
8.5. Yeah, that makes sense.
Shit. And also this week I saw Paranormal Activity 1 and 2.
So how was it? Did you scream, Andrew?
I jumped.
Were you scared?
I jumped. I'm
going to
be honest.
I have to. Okay, I'm going to quote him. He's playing it, you know,
cool,
kind of cool now. Yeah. When he came back, Douglas, Paranormal 2 was really, really good. That's what he told me.
Is it really scary? Really, really?
All right, Damian, I know you're making fun of me because you're in your horror movie suck mode. But you see, the truth of the matter is these movies, they don't go for the regular horror movie scares. It isn't scary because there's a big bad thing coming for you. It's ridiculously creepy is what it is.
Uh-huh.
And because it's this phone footage thing.
It's as creepy as the first one. I've seen the first one.
The first one was creepy. You want me to tell you when?
Why?
The first one was
because
creepy.
Those two people are
No. at the very end. So I haven't watched this movie. I remember starting to watch it when it happened.
Remember that's an alternate ending you saw.
But it still had the thing, right?
No, the theatrical ending didn't have that.
It didn't have...
Oh, so
no.
So there's a good ending.
Damn it!
There are three different endings.
Damn
in the
it!
First film.
Is there one that's
all right.
good?
Which one did you see?
I'm pretty sure I saw the...
What happened in the... spoilers for Paranormal Activity. What happened at the end of Paranormal Activity for you?
Some shit jumped out of somewhere, I think that's...
The dude flew back,
right?
Right. Okay, that's the theatrical. There were two other endings. The one that I got a copy of and I saw there, what happens was when the girl goes downstairs,
right.
She kills the husband.
Of course she does.
No, she kills him and you don't see him again.
Ah. Okay.
And you see her come back upstairs and she sits down by the bed and she just rocks. And you see her rock for like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear the sister come to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear her scream downstairs because obviously she found the body. And then she runs out. And you see the police come shortly after and they kill her girl. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a really good ending to that film.
Oh.
There's also a third ending which I read about on Wikipedia where, just as I said, she kills her husband and comes back upstairs, but then she slits her own throat, killing herself. But the theatrical ending is the one you saw.
Right.
And that's the one that plays into Paranormal Activity 2.
Right, some dude just wind kill him. I don't understand.
She had a teddy bear.
I don't understand.
She has the power of the spirit that
the
possessed her.
The power of Grayskull?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, watching the first one, you just, like, I just don't get, like, every time something opened or some breeze, I'm like, what in God?
No, don't worry, you know, first time I tried to watch the first movie, I stopped at the 30-minute mark and said, I can't go any further.
This movie is stupid.
Right. But I forced myself because I was invited to go and watch 2 for free by Palace.
Yeah, but by the end of the movie, by the end of the first one, I just went, yeah, that was stupid.
But what made the second movie better for me was not only did they speed up the process to which they get to all the crazy shit happening, but it's so well constructed narratively to explain how the first one happened. Because it's actually a prequel to Paranormal Activity.
Oh.
It takes place with the sister and the husband and the sister.
So the house is killing people.
And
so wait, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just get this straight.
Fair.
Let me just get this straight.
Yes.
The second movie is a prequel to the first movie.
Right. And the third one.
Okay, no, wait.
No, we're not going.
Wait. So, the second movie happened before the first movie.
Correct.
That is what prequel means.
Which means that in the second movie, these people found out that ghosts existed.
Yes.
Okay. Why then in the first movie did they not know that ghosts existed and then had to find out again?
They explain that.
Of course. Ninja bullets.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you watch Wolverine?
Seriously, they explain it and it's really well done. I'm not going to lie. Like, honestly, I wanted to hate this movie. You remember when we saw the
spoilers back on and explain it to me? Because I'm not watching
this. Yeah, I'm not watching this either. So tell me. Let us know.
So spoilers for Paranormal Activity 2.
Let's hear this.
So, Damon, you've seen the first film.
Yes.
So, in the second film, they explain, first of all, why the spirit is there.
Okay.
Right? First of all, the spirit was there to get their son of the sister, their son Hunter, because apparently, and this is the only part of the plot you can really laugh at because it just comes out of the blue, but hold on.
I'll be the judge on
it. they say that in their family lineage, they came into money like their grandmother or something in the 30s, and apparently she made a deal with the devil or something, and the deal was not only does she get that, but in return she has to give up the life of the first son in the family.
Of course.
And Hunter, the child in this family now, is the first son since that woman. So once you buy that bit, the rest of it makes perfect sense. Towards the end, when shit is happening and they've finally gone, I believe
is Hunter the husband? Is Hunter the husband?
Hunter is a son, he's a baby.
Right, so it's not a spirit, it's the devil.
It's a demon.
She didn't make a deal with a demon, did she?
Said
she made a deal.
A demon,
devil.
Sorry.
So it's a
demon.
Devil.
and how it happens is in the end when shit is happening and the husband finally goes, holy shit, it's real. He ends up getting his, I can only assume it's Mexican because she speaks Spanish, and I just assume all helpers who speak Spanish are
Mexican.
Of course. Mexican.
All those wetbacks, right, Andrew? Okay, I hear you.
Comes in and shows him how to, quote-unquote, exorcise the demon from his wife in such a way that it is transposed onto the sister, which becomes Paranormal Activity 1.
Oh, so the sister...
And so he didn't...
The sister
remember
is...
Remember any of that?
So
the sister doesn't remember any of it, and he refuses to tell the sister because he just wants his sister to get fucked over by his family.
Wait.
He's Trump Norris, sorry.
So the sister is the main character in the first movie?
Yes.
They've been tried.
And did the demon get the son?
Yes, at the end of the second one.
Okay, stop. Hold on. And the reason that this demon is here is to get the son because there was a deal with the devil that you were to get the son, the next son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he got the son in the second one.
Right. Why is he still there?
For the first one.
He did his job.
No. How the movie works is that the second one is like 3 months before, and then like 10 minutes before the movie is over, their story ends, and then it jumps to Paranormal Activity 1, where at the end of Paranormal Activity 1 you see the girl is possessed, she kills her husband, and then at the end of 2 you see it jumps to right after that point, where you see her, the sister, come back to the house and kill everybody and take the son. So that explains why Paranormal Activity.
So in 3 now.
You didn't say that. Okay.
Will the grandmother
I was just explaining the spirit aspect. I wasn't meant to give in to all that last bit.
So
So when the grandmother be making a deal with the devil in three, and then it flashes forward to a plane crashing on a deserted island where there's a hatch and some numbers. No? No? Alright. Alright, fair enough.
Oh what my god.
Honestly, Darren, I know it sounds odd right now. And
oh, it does?
I wanted to hate it, you know. I really and truly wanted to hate it, but honestly, it did what it meant to
I
do, and I liked it.
Nothing
and
that you said.
I don't hear it. I'm reading Twitter, by the way.
You keep saying, but I don't want to hear it.
And yeah, that's all I've seen this week.
Okay. So, now that Walking Dead is my.
By
your
the way,
favorite show.
By the way, did you know there are only 6 episodes this season? I didn't realize that.
Yes. AMC can't spend that much money. There must be some producer.
So you say like the show directed by the man who directed The Mist.
Some guy had to go and say.
He doesn't direct.
What the hell
is
he
just producer?
The first episode.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Kind of like Scorsese and
exactly.
Boardwalk.
It's like, what the God's name is all of this money going to? Makeup? What are you guys doing? Like, we're making a show about zombies. Well, stop it. Right?
You can make 6 more episodes.
We don't have that kind of money this year. Next year.
Don't you know we have to pay for Mad Men?
Hey, wrong with
you. Don't you dare say a bad word.
We have to keep that shit on the air. It's not giving us any money, but. What do you do?
Anyways, yeah, so.
So, on Sunday, I saw I Am Legend, and
so
that movie
is the first time you've seen that.
No. That movie is 80% a decent movie, and then because I remember not liking the movie, but I didn't remember why. I kind of blocked out what happened. But that ending part of that, like, what the hell happened? Did they shoot whoever was directing the first 80% of the movie? Who came, all those decisions for, towards? Because I mean, the first hour and 10 minutes of that movie is really good. I was really enjoying myself. I'm like, yeah, this gives me the same Walking Dead vibe. I understand why he's doing all the things he does. There's a Bob Marley song, so that's an instant plus one.
Which what is this?
I'm Legend.
Oh yeah, there is
Bob
Marley song. I remember that. And then he makes that joke. We named him Robert, and they're all like,
and he was reciting Shrek. I mean, it was good.
Yeah, it was.
And
it was
then
good for a while,
something happened.
did you ever see the alternate ending to that film? It actually,
I think there are two of them, right?
Well, there
which
was
one are you talking about?
There was one where he, like, at the end of the film in the theatrical edition. He lets the girl and the boy go, like, hide in some place, and then he blows up a grenade with all of the people, right?
Yeah.
In the alternate ending, if I remember correctly, because I haven't seen this in, like, a year or two, you see him let out the girl, and you just see them hand. Oh, shit, I'm sorry. I don't even remember it. But I remember there was an alternate ending,
and it made
it better.
Okay. Right,
I look for it.
Should go hunt that down. So I said, alright, because I saw it on TV. I said, alright, I mean, it's Sunday and I'm going to be watching Walking Dead. Let me just make a day out of Sunday. And so I started watching post-apocalyptic movies.
Roland Emmerich passed a bit.
No, not in any of his movies. Not the big spectacle. The world is going sideways. I mean, this is after the apocalypse. People just trying to. So I watched The Road, and again, The Road is great. I really, really do enjoy.
You know, to know I don't watch it yet.
No.
Is that technically a 2010 movie?
It's 2009.
Damn it! I still need to watch it though.
It's really, really good.
I still need to start watching all sorts of 2010
movies.
That's
what they say by its form.
Yeah.
That's why the top 10 episode is first week of
January.
It's just fast.
It's
just all of that time.
Yeah, I should do that now when I don't have
work.
But actually, I do have work. I have this big website to make. Oh well.
I rewatch Book of Eli, which there's stuff in that movie that I really like. And then there's Mila Kunis,
Really? There's stuff in that. I mean, other than Tom Waits, what is there really to that?
Gary Oldman was great.
Okay, all right, fine.
I think her name is Amanda Peet. Or...
Amanda Peet is not in that movie.
No, Amanda. No, what's his name of that girl? The blind woman in. She was in the L Word.
Wife of Gary Oldman.
I don't remember her name.
Who was that? Yeah. I can't really. I can't even see her. I can't remember.
I know
which
character you're talking about, but I don't know who that is.
Her name, right? Amanda Peet is someone else. Right?
Yeah, Amanda Peet is
the girl in 2012.
Right.
She is in 2012.
Right.
She's in
2012.
Yeah.
Correct.
She's very pretty too.
If that, I just
don't shake your head at me, sir.
She's just there.
Are we still talking about the movie?
Or
we're talking about
movie
Snow?
I just don't get it. I saw Mad Max.
Oh man, the first one?
Yeah.
What did you think?
No, there's one. There's one.
There's like four or five.
No.
You don't seem to understand.
I understand.
One.
Okay. I understand and I agree.
That dude taking care of children?
What about the Thunderdome, though?
Just stop it.
Is it the Thunderdome or the Terradome?
Thunderdome is the third one, right?
Whatever. It doesn't matter. I saw the good one.
Actually, yeah, I think that is the third one.
Yeah.
And then the second one is the one where he, like...
I don't know the
goes
one.
To some people and... Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But what do you think of the first one?
The movie's great.
It really is. It's so fun. I remember
watching the movie and not smiling.
Listen, okay. So there's a scene. I don't know if you caught it, right? But this is something that I learned from my roommate in college when he found out that, holy shit, I had never watched Mad Max before. He said to me, okay, fine. You can like the movie, you can hate the movie, but there's one thing that you have to see in this thing. And you know the one of the introductory scenes when, I think it's, yes, Mad Max is chasing after this guy that's like driving all over the place.
Rider.
Yeah. No, in a proper car, not the Knight Rider. They don't reach that part yet. One of his crew. This is a guy that dies, and then that is why the whole crew comes.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I know where you're going.
and there's a point in that chase where the guy that is being chased realizes that he's about to die because he's about to crash into something. And there is a shot, and it can't be more than a quarter of a half of a second, where they pan to his face, and his eyes are huge and bulging. It's not even like regular eyes. They look like machine, like some sort of you know, what do they call those things, like the cartoon, whatever.
Oh, the mannequin.
Yeah, it looks like some sort of mannequin thing with eyes, like, well, literally
popping out
and coming out that way, and it's just. I think that's the greatest part of that movie. but on a whole, I love that film.
Yeah.
I love it. And Andrew, we haven't started Bear Number 2 yet. Here you go.
So being a pussy.
I'll succumb to peer pressure.
We're finishing these three.
I saw 28 Days Later.
Is it the first time?
Finally. Yeah,
wow.
I got it because you guys were harassing me. I saw 28 weeks. I didn't see.
Oh,
days.
Okay.
You
I understand. No, no. I understand. No, no.
Days?
Honestly, if somebody saw 28 weeks before 28 days, I'd understand if they didn't want to watch it.
No, but I'd imagine for Damon, at least, when he sees Danny Boyle written on
the No, movie. No. Right. So I've had it for a while, and I should have watched it. I just didn't.
So there actually are movies that you have that list.
Yeah, I do.
You make it so horrible when I say things like that.
Yeah, because you have such a big list.
And also, you hate westerns.
Not anymore.
You're a born again westerner.
Yeah,
is that what you're
yeah,
saying?
Changed,
yeah.
Good.
I'll watch Magnificent Seven right now.
It's... I mean, I can see where Danny Boyle ripped off The Walking Dead.
That's exactly what I'm saying, right? The Walking Dead was 28 Days Later.
Danny Boyle
was ridiculous.
Go to prison for wholesale, ripping off The Walking Dead. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Now you can't watch The Walking Dead ever again.
I mean... I mean, that one should be. Is there? Did he rip off Slumdog Millionaire?
You know what though? You know what though? I have to say, even though Danny Boyle ripped off Walking Dead, he did it better.
Yeah, that is true. It's freaking Danny.
Fuck Frank Darabont.
It's Danny Boyle. It was good. And then
Mister, how dare you say fuck Frank Darabont?
And then I was Walking Dead.
Fuck him. He's Fat Frank. Damn it.
And then I saw Walking Dead. No, that episode 3. And it's still good.
Yeah, it's a fun little show.
It's still good. That's it. Yeah, so I mean, I saw some other shit, but that though. Sunday was the main day. Saw a lot of zombies and dirt. There's a lot of dirt when the world ends. A lot of dirt. Can the world end and there be greenery? I don't. Oh no.
No, because you see, when you're eating brains, right?
Made that movie.
No. It makes sense because when you're eating brains, there comes a point when there's not that much brains to eat, right, and so you have to start eating the grass.
No, but when the blood made the trees grow stronger. I mean, there's no one polluting anywhere when the trees thrive. All that rainfall, no one polluting the earth. When the trees be happy, the place should be green as shit. Why is everything so brown?
Because the zombies pee a lot.
Okay then.
Alright. Thank you for clearing that up, Douglas.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain.
So yeah, trailers this week. There were a ton of trailers that came out this week.
Winnie the Pooh.
No, we're not talking about it.
Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh.
What's the song that was playing in the commercials?
I can't remember.
Which commercial?
Winnie the Pooh.
The trailer of Winnie the Pooh.
Really, they didn't sing that song?
Is that actual?
What's wrong with
them? They bought music for it.
Bastards.
And it fit.
Oh, did it?
It's great, yeah.
As you saw Winnie in like a swimsuit and...
Son, I don't use whimsical a lot, but... whimsical shit.
But that's not so cool. Now you need to play the trailer so I can watch it, because
you can't watch.
Of all the trailers we decided to talk about, by the way, this was not one of them. I haven't seen this one.
I'll play it for you after the podcast.
Yeah,
shit. Anyways, a teaser came out for Battle Los Angeles.
The skies turned black, 'cause I loved her and she didn't love back.
So I think Damon wants to talk about this the most.
Right, I don't understand how you guys are like, oh, that Skyline trailer looks ridiculous, but this Battle Los Angeles trailer looks awesome. It's the same movie.
Because here lies the difference, first of all. Number one.
Actors.
Well, I was going to get there. Give me a second.
Okay. Fair. All right. Sorry.
Skyline had dialogue. This doesn't.
Fair enough.
Added to the dialogue problem, Skyline has bad actors. This doesn't.
Yes, but they're.
No. Stop.
And I don't agree.
I would like to inform Andrew, because clearly he has not watched all of the trailer, that a certain Michelle Rodriguez was featured.
Hey,
alright. I like Michelle Rodriguez.
No. Listen, Andrew. She is very pretty, I'll give you that. Well, not very pretty.
Yeah. I think you need to back it up.
She is. I can watch her, sure.
one.
Right. You know.
I think you've backed it up.
If she isn't holding a gun, I won't be worried about her killing me. So I can think more about her sexually. I think that's what Douglas was trying to say.
Actually, I don't think, but never mind. Right. So it's more aliens killing people. I'm happy. I'm so happy.
And actually, I think movie looks prettier than Skyline. Skyline looks a bit cartoony.
The thing about I want to.
All that's going to matter at the end of the day is how kick-ass the aliens are, because they're going to lose.
We're talking about regular people versus aliens in Skyline versus the Marines versus aliens in Battle of Los Angeles.
Right, but if the Marines versus aliens, if all we get is Marines getting into position and circling up, and when they lift their gun, you hear the kick noise, which I'm pretty sure I heard in that trailer. And people need to know, when you raise your gun up to shoot, it doesn't make a noise. I've seen it in so many movies. It's one of my few you ever seen it when they raise their gun and hear a click? Where the hell is that click coming from?
it's clicking into their shirt.
Oh, of course it is.
It's not really the gun, it's you know the strap that they hold.
Metal on it and it goes lift and down.
The downside with having soldiers is that there's going to be points where someone has to be the general and comes up with a plan, and the plan fails, and then all sorts of madness happen.
And then Will Smith is going to have to come, as well as Jeff Goldblum, and they'll give the alien spaceship a call.
Tom Cruise is going to get captured, and then Breeze is going to kill him. That is what's the air. Now, if from what I've seen, the aliens in Skyline are doing a lot of damage and kicking a lot of ass. That is what needs to happen in Battle Los Angeles. I don't care about the people and whoever is surviving. That doesn't really mean anything. Because that's not why I'm watching the movie. Right?
So you're saying when you watched The Road, you didn't care that Robert Duvall was the priest dude? Or
was there aliens in The Road?
It was people surviving.
Was there aliens in The Road? No, so it's not a spectacle movie. It's an actual good one. So I watched it for silly things like story and acting ability. Battle Los Angeles and Skyline, I don't care who's in it. None of that matters. As long as there's aliens doing terrible things to people. They'll have to lose somehow. I'm pretty sure that both the endings for these movies are going to suck. Pretty sure. They're going to dream up some nonsense. It's going to annoy me. So they need to make sure that before that ending, I'm as entertained as possible. So by the time it ends, it doesn't matter. That's all that I want.
One thing I wanted to say was that Andrew is incorrect. Or at least I believe he is. So Andrew said that, not Skyline, Battle Los Angeles is going to be prettier than Skyline. And I disagree. It's not going to be prettier. What it's going to be is
dirtier.
It's going to be grittier and more real. I don't mean even brown, right? I just mean it's going to look more like real things. Like Skyline, you're going to have a lot of
aliens.
Yeah. No, I'm not even talking about aliens. I'm talking about
I'm just being honest.
Skyline looks very computer generated and
cartoonish.
Cartoonish and
but they're friggin' aliens.
Perfect. You know?
They're aliens. I don't want human looking aliens. Why?
No, but even when you see
you see you're not paying attention. District 9 is not a spectacle movie. That's not what the movie was about. These two movies are clearly all about.
Yeah, that's what they're about.
All about. It's not about story. No one gives a shit.
So I vote Battle Los Angeles.
I'll bet. Look, as long as I get two good alien movies, and then Cowboys and Aliens looks awesome. You're welcome for that transition, son.
Yes,
transition. This trailer on the list is the teaser trailer for Cowboys and Aliens.
I didn't get to vote on Battlestar Galactica.
Capri? Didn't I cancel it?
I didn't get to vote on Battle Earth LA something. Anyway, yes. No. No. I love the trailer, and I definitely want to watch it based on what I've seen so far. Anyway, on to Cowboys and Aliens. John Favreau.
Bond with aliens.
James Bond.
Can I tell you, as much as the aliens at the second half is amazing, my favorite part of that teaser is the first, 20 seconds.
Negative.
When you see the guys come around Daniel Craig, and they're like, go start walking, and he just kills the three of them. I'm like, that's
No.
You know what, though? Stop. You know
I'm
what it
shooting
is?
Shooting that down right now.
You know what it is? That is the true musings of a James Bond fan.
Yeah.
Why? Because you come to a movie named Cowboys and Aliens.
And what's and Cowboys?
Wait, no. Not even that, Andrew. You decide to fix it, like Damien says, on the part where he kicks ass with his hands. Listen, this is a movie where James Bond has a wristband that can bring down a spaceship.
When Harrison Ford turned and realized what just happened, that is the best part of the trip. He shot a spaceship down with his hand and then closed his fist, and the gun wrist thing went away, and Harrison Ford went, oh shit, son.
Harrison Ford went, I want you on my team.
Because Harrison Ford is like, I want him. I'll kill all of you, but he's coming with me. And then you saw that and you went, I think this is I'm pretty sure Favreau will do it properly.
While Skyline, I don't know, listen, he gave us Ant-Man 1, which was fantastic, right. But he also gave us Ant-Man 2.
No. Marvel gave us Ant-Man 2.
He also gave us Elf, which is not good before you try and defend it.
What? I will never. Look, Favreau.
Didn't he give us Four Christmases?
No, he wasn't. He didn't direct that. He was in that shit, though.
He was in that shit.
He's in a lot of nonsense.
He was also in that Couples Retreat.
What's Will Ferrell called?
Couples Retreat.
What's Will Ferrell?
How did Will Ferrell call for Couples Retreat? Explain to me.
I'm Vince Vaughn. I'm sorry. Once Vince Vaughn makes the phone call, he has to pick up.
Right. Yeah, he has to pick up. And then he's like, fuck you, hangs up. That's how it works.
It's like an Adam Sandler deal. You know, once Adam Sandler makes a phone call to the right people, they just appear.
And if I'm just going by the evidence in front of me, the Favreau trailer was the best one.
You think so?
Yes.
I wouldn't put it that far. What trailers are we talking about? We're talking about...
The Skyline... Battle Los Angeles.
Oh, we're going Aliens.
And Alien. Oh. And Cowboy versus Alien.
No, man. Battle Los Angeles by far number one.
I wasn't even thinking of Battle Los Angeles. Shit.
By far number one. But then Favreau gets number two only because Skyline was so horrible.
How I would peg it?
To tell you the truth, out of all of them that we're talking about today, if Skyline doesn't count, Favreau would get last.
There's no way, because in Favreau's teaser, he shows you how they're going to kill some of the aliens. None of the other teasers showed it.
They show you the guns in...
Yeah. Bullets usually do wonders against aliens.
Have any of you guys read the comic book this is based on?
No.
No.
And I won't. Just like Wanted, just like Scott Pilgrim. I knew I should have listened to myself but not read Scott Pilgrim.
By the way, did you like that movie?
Okay, weren't you there?
No, I didn't know.
Those guys are assholes and they belong to each other.
My Blu-ray is on the way.
That's good.
It was just like the comics. And there's pilgrims on us.
The thing about it, though,
coming from Damon, that's impressive.
Yeah, but the thing about it, though, that I noticed was that in this movie, Scott Pilgrim, you saw him being an asshole much more than in the book. In the book, at least for me, because I guess this is our hero, right? I didn't see Scott Pilgrim being a real asshole. Yes, he had his moments where he was being a ridiculous person, but it was all, "Ooh, I am a naive asshole." Until the last volume, when you were like, "Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow!" But with the movie, throughout, from the get-go, from the first scene, you're like, this guy is a total dick, you know?
I love how someone would go from Aliens to Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim is an alien.
They infuse the video game-iness into it, it was okay. But then they surrounded that with him and his relationships and nonsense, and not so okay.
Anyway, so another trailer that came out this week, Your Highness.
In a faraway land, there live two brothers. One brave and bold. The other, not so much.
Woo! Courtney, will you make funny faces to entertain me? No! Never triangle face. I hate triangle face. It scares me.
The Tsar! Prepare to meet your doom.
I'm here to steal a beautiful virgin that looks just like...
And just how do you plan on doing that?
Magic. Motherfucker.
You must journey with your brother to rescue his bride, or you can face banishment from the kingdom.
Shit.
Let the quest begin.
The new David Gordon.
Year one, part two. Let's go, guys.
Okay, so here's the thing. This looks like it could be a horrible... horrible movie, but guess what? I think this is my favorite. Exactly, this is my favorite trailer this week. This
the magic
looks hilarious. Exactly, how are you going to do that?
Magic.
I have learned to trust in the James Franco.
Yes. If James Franco was not in this, because it gave me the same vibe that Year One gave me. But then I remembered, Damien, James Franco is in this. And it's the same dudes that did the Pineapple Express.
I have to tell you,
and
by
you
the way,
love that movie.
By the way, can I say that James Franco, for a long time, I pegged him as nothing more than a face, like a pretty boy. But
when he was in the first two Spider-Man,
he was doing
a lot of nothing.
Exactly.
There were three of them, by the way.
Yes, but by the third one, Franco had proven that he could act.
Yeah. The funny thing is, you know, when I realized that I could like this guy and I should watch out for him? Pineapple Express. How is that possible?
that role was just fantastic.
It was!
And I mean, tagged on with the same year he did Milk, which...
Yeah, that was really good from him.
What was the movie where he had... like, he was... he had a fake girlfriend, but he was in love with her.
No, that's Ryan Gosling.
That's Lars and the real girl.
Yeah.
No. It was part of another movie as a joke. Franco was in it. And some... No, it's 30 Rock. No,
the pillow, he had like his own pillow or something. Yeah.
He was supposed to play with his lemon, he really loves his job.
Right. His pillow, right?
I was like, what is Damien talking about?
And you know, I thought about that, and I'm like, there must be a film he's talking about, because he can't talk about 30 Rock.
It's 30 Rock. No, I was just getting
James Franco is awesome, though.
He is. Even though I was not a fan of 127 Hours.
But he was really good. I agree with you. I'm not a huge fan of that movie, even though I love certain aspects of it. But he is one of those aspects that I love.
He's really good.
Portrayal was spectacular. I don't know if I can say that he should get the best actor. I haven't seen very many of the Oscar type of movies.
They're not
going
to give Danny Boyle the joy of winning anything 2 years in a row.
What? Tell that to Russell Crowe.
No, he's Russell Crowe.
Nose up for Danny McBride?
Not really. I don't like Dynamite Bread that much. And it's funny because in his movies where he does nothing and he is like a side of a side character, I love him. I think he's fantastic. And then I watch shit like Eastbound and Down and I'm like, fuck that guy.
There was another one where he was a karate teacher.
Yeah, I didn't like that movie.
Sweet Jesus, that movie.
I remember once I watched it so bad. Up to now, I don't watch it though because
that's another Jodie Hill film. So bad. I did not like
Jodie Hill.
But I love Eastbound and Down.
Nope.
Of course you do. Of course.
I also love him in Pineapple Express. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay, all right, fair enough.
He
wasn't
really part of that movie.
Yeah.
And that's why I love, because every he just showed up and like, this movie's great.
This movie's great despite him. That's the thing. It's despite Danny McBride.
And he has a lot. It seems like he's going to have a lot of screen time. But,
yeah, it looks that way. But you know what? Exactly.
Natalie Portman. No triangle face. That scares me.
Yeah, Natalie Portman.
And she at least clears down to her bikinis. Let's see if she goes more.
Again, Google, guys. Honestly. All these actresses do spreads for magazines, you know, if you really want to see it.
Like, alright.
Maxim.com, right?
You guys are like jumping all over this trailer, and I have to say, I'm really want to watch this film. It's the trailer looks hilarious. However, I think that this is one of those trailers which just goes a tad bit too long. It could have ended at the point where you see Danny McBride talking to James Franco about sucking out the venom.
No,
it decides to go an extra
minute.
No,
it could have ended when the guy said magic.
Motherfucker.
Alright. That's good enough, guys.
No, I mean, like, yeah, that would have been a fun teaser. You'd be like, oh, I have to watch this, but as a trailer goes towards the point of the venom, and that's a trailer. The rest of it was just tacking on more jokes, and now it made me feel to the point of, are they just throwing in every joke to make me want to watch this film, and then I'm disappointed when I see the film?
As you said, there's a trailer that came out, I think 5 minutes, something New York. It's about the New York City police harassing Muslims. And the trailer wasn't really that good. What's his name? I'm too old for this shit.
Oh, Danny Glover?
Yeah, Danny Glover is in it. And
I don't like him.
No one cares. But at the end of the trailer is about 2.5 minutes long. After a minute and a half, they just started doing quick cuts. But they're doing quick cuts of people walking down the street. It's quick cuts of shit that is so boring on Monday. Like people talking at a desk and there's passers by. The trailer is terrible. That trailer makes the Your Highness trailer looks like a masterpiece. Because it's so long with things that you couldn't care any less about.
Anyways, the last trailer that we saw this week is
Stop. Mm-hmm. Have we not finished trailers yet?
No. It's what most people are calling their most anticipated film of the next summer, Green Lantern.
Your name?
Hal Jordan.
The ring. It chose you. Use its power to defend our universe. Become one of us.
The new Reynolds film, based on the DC comic.
I forgot.
Book.
Sorry, Favreau does not get last.
All right.
Whoa. So Damian, Green Lantern, you were talking about this film in high regard, a couple months ago when the first few images came out. What do you think now that you've seen the trailer?
I like it. Like the fact that every superhero movie going forward won't be gritty realism. Because Batman has that lockdown. I can't wait to see what Zack Snyder does with Superman. But until then, I have Iron Man, which Marvel has taken complete control over. And there's nothing else. They're rebooting Spider-Man. There's Thor, which, I mean, I like the main actor, but it's freaking Thor.
Captain America.
You like the main actor, really?
Yeah, he was
What has he been in other than that one movie?
Which one movie?
I can't remember. I just know there was one.
What's the main actor in Thor?
He's the guy from A Perfect Getaway.
Getaway.
Right, that's not Timothy Oliphant.
Wait. Who is he in Perfect Getaway?
The other guy.
The one that
you're cocaine.
Is he the convict that comes back?
Oh. Right, he's the other guy that's on the island. That's not Steve and not Timothy. Right.
Oh wait, sorry. A Perfect Getaway. I was thinking of another movie. So he is
the hippie looking guy. There's three couples. There's three. Right? And one spends a very short time.
The guy that gets a ride.
Right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, was he in Star Trek?
Yeah.
He was
Thor. Okay. Right. So Thor. I hope Thor is good, but I know I see Marvel doing stuff to that movie that
actually,
I already don't like.
Like when I see the images,
and there's no more Hulk.
Not very interested. Right. Same with Captain America. When I see the images and I'm
right.
like, and they're going to do the post 3 for the two of them, I'm like, no.
And yeah, but
anyways, Green Lantern.
I'm forgetting his name.
Chris Evans?
No,
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Sorry. I was still in Captain America in my head.
I like Ryan Reynolds, even when he's in bad movies like Life Happens and Foolproof. So I'm pretty sure
Foolproof isn't that the shitty like Christian movie.
No
that's Fireproof. Sorry
it looks fun, you know, like it looks like what the Spider-Man movies used to be, where it's just you go and you enjoy yourself. All superhero movies don't have to be dark and brooding. It just doesn't have to be. I want him to fly planes and punch shit with green light. I don't really like Green Lantern. I don't know anything about the character, but it looks fun. Enjoying himself.
I've read random issues of Green Lantern throughout my childhood.
Yeah, I used to love that comic.
Yeah,
but I never read a lot of it because...
You were not a nerd.
I suppose, yeah.
And also, this host was more a Marvel host than a DC host.
Oh shit, son.
Fight. But I generally like the idea of Green Lantern and his power. The whole idea that anything he can imagine, he can just create and it happens. And it becomes into his fight. But I have to say, when I saw his trailer,
damn it, it doesn't work.
You need the ring, son.
And
the lantern. You need the two of them. When I saw his trailer, I'm highly disappointed. It looks so bad. Like, Ryan Reynolds, like, he still continues to do that same character from Van Wilder.
Right,
where he's that, you know, charismatic person, which I like. But set in this, it just
make
doesn't
yourself
feel
comfortable.
Right.
There's
water in the tap. You know, like, things like that would make me laugh. It was a romantic comedy. But the Green Lantern thing, and even when it gets to the parts of the trailer where he actually has his lantern and stuff, he goes like, responsibility comes, and then me responsible, and all these things. It works as a Ryan Reynolds joke.
He's like,
but... And then even worse, when it gets and you see him in the suit,
yeah.
The graphics look stupid.
The graphics.
It looks like they haven't finished.
They probably haven't.
But why would they not finish those shots?
You do know they can make it better afterwards, right?
No, I know that, but this is a 2.5 minute trailer. Okay. I'd assume they would have finished all of the 2.5 minutes.
At least. I didn't like the CG when he was like up against a big alien.
Yeah.
I didn't like the CG at all. I'm just saying. But I have to say that I'm actually in between you two guys, because I watched this trailer and I saw it just like Andrew. I really didn't like the trailer. It looked like it was just rubbish. But I still want to watch a movie. I still believe that based on what is in the trailer, even though it doesn't show good things, I don't think, that it's still shows that, like you said, they're trying to go with the whole lighthearted thing, and yeah, it doesn't have to be brooding. And so I'm hoping that this trailer is just a poor choice on the trailer maker's side. And that this will be a decent movie. Okay,
that's the name of our podcast. The trailer makers.
So I want to watch this movie. I want it to do well. This trailer doesn't tell me that it will, but my fingers are crossed and I live in hope.
I watched it for a little while. I like to watch things on TV.
Don't be back late.
I know.
Come give us a hug before you go.
Hugs.
Hug her. That's what she's there for. Have you thought any more about making that call?
That could really hurt Mom's feelings.
How can you not even be curious about it?
Each of my moms had a kid with your sperm.
Like in both of them.
Uh-huh. Like in gay.
Right on.
Cool. I love lesbians.
Great.
I get it. He's their biological father and all that crap. Like, we're not enough or something?
I never thought they'd use my stuff.
Why not? I'd use it.
Donor dad? Stone Cold Fox. Is he single?
First of all, ew.
We met him, and that's cool. And now we can move on.
I want to see him again.
You do?
You do? So great to meet you.
Anyways, this week, we said we were going to talk about The Kids Are Alright.
Laser.
should have named the daughter Sword.
Sir Laser, give it sir. It's a film starring Annette Bening.
You think his nickname was Pew Pew?
Really does.
and Mark Ruffalo. It's about this eclectic family. These two lesbians.
Nickname was Beam.
Two lesbians
Beam.
And their children.
Beam.
the children are finally growing older, and they want to find out about their biological father, who turns out to be Mark Ruffalo. And
of course, it does. If you have an indie movie and need someone to act in it,
Mark Ruffalo would let.
Mark, you doing anything? Nope.
I've never heard back from Mark.
Grease Witherspoon won't return my calls.
Want to be in this movie about lesbians raising children?
Sure.
I'll do it.
So I watched this movie today. And I have to say, I kind of liked it.
Where the kids are.
Wait, sorry. You have to say you kind of liked it.
Yes, it's in my contract. Somewhere.
You make it sound like you're like, grudgingly.
Begrudgingly.
Like, boy. I mean,
I love Paranormal Activity. This movie.
It was okay. Compared with Paranormal Activity, it's kind of crap. But, you know. At least it was no Rear Window.
Yeah.
You know.
Tell you.
We're still harping on that one.
Why the fuck not?
It's really easy. You did say it after all.
I did say it. It's somewhere out there.
Stupid motherfucker.
It's probably better
magic,
than a Western.
Magic, right?
Right?
It's magic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's magic.
One thing I really liked about this film was how it played comedically, because it didn't try too hard to make jokes feel like jokes. What it did was it just had these conversations where characters just ended up being flustered by how the scenario was going. And I think one of my favorite scenes which did this was when the lesbian parents, Annette Bening and Julianne Moore, are talking to their son about the gay porn he was just watching. And, you know, they're trying to figure out if he's actually gay and having a relationship with this friend of his.
By the way, stop. I think we need to explain that this gay porn was actually pilfered from his parents.
Pilfered from his parents.
And it wasn't that he was watching porn.
Oh, and when
to
I
watch
say gay porn.
Porn,
I mean male gay porn, not female
gay porn.
I have to be clear so that
you have to understand that he was watching his parents' porn,
his
and parents that's porn. Why he was watching the porn. Okay, because I mean,
Yeah. I actually love while they're watching the porn, like, Laser. I find it hilarious that his name is Laser. I don't know what the discussion was when they were deciding to name their child Laser. Laser was watching it, and the other guy was like, Laser said to him, I think we should fast forward just to make sure this is all there is. And the other child just sits down and he's quiet. He's just watching it. kind of funny. But that whole conversation between the parents and Laser about the them trying to figure out if he's having a relationship with his child, and at the same time he ends up giving away the fact that he has met his biological father. He's made that leap into finding out more about himself, and just the way that conversation continues is just hysterical as far as I'm concerned. And there are a lot of scenes like that. Mark Ruffalo is fantastic in this movie, as well as his Julianne Moore. I actually also appreciated the daughter.
I'm not sure.
I know she's Jane Eyre, but is she Alice?
Yeah.
Okay, if you say she's Alice, I'll take your word for it.
Mia Wachowska.
Yeah, Wachowski or something like that. I can't remember, but yeah.
Name. Yeah, she was really good in this movie, and I really liked her. Douglas, what did you think of this movie?
Well, I talked about it last week. Yeah. Clearly, like I said last week, I really did enjoy it.
Okay, like, I know Andrew's going to hate me because he wants to pick this movie.
And then Damon goes
the
behind his back and picks a movie. Awesome. So
I wanted to watch it.
Like Andrew said, it's about these children that want to meet with their father, their biological father, because it's. I personally think it's a little bit of an odd situation.
Because their mummy.
No, no, no.
These mummies.
No, no, no. It has nothing. Actually, it has nothing to do with that. What I think is odd is that both moms decided to get sperm from the same donor, and not only that, but they did so 3 years apart.
Yeah.
I think that is a little bit odd.
You don't want the two of them to be pregnant at the same time.
No. I'm fine with 3 years apart getting sperm donors. What's a little bit strange is making sure that with these 3 years apart, the sperm donor is the same person.
I think to be that picky is a little bit weird. I'm about to explain to you. I think what happened was, because you realize the daughter is the older one.
Yeah.
They got the daughter, and they realized, holy shit, this daughter is really smart. I like her. Let's get that same sperm and put it in the other girl.
And then they fucked up right there.
Once her face is a control freak, of course she did it.
Yeah. But no. I think it's kind of sweet in a way, but still a little bit weird. Anyway,
is that what you are going to do, Douglas?
I would have a sperm donor, and that then I would grow some sort of baby inside my belly.
So well,
yes, okay.
You need to find a woman and do that.
but yeah, that is actually a little bit sweet and endearing.
Too bad all those children are. I mean, most of those children, boy, can't wait till I'm a parent. So many punches. Child services is going to have a field day talking back to who you out are. I got off track because I had a punch of kids in the face. Those kids are really obnoxious. They get it from their parents, clearly. But that still doesn't excuse them. There's a lot of back talk from those children.
I like to think of it as discussion.
No, discussion is what me and you are having. When they back talk and then slam the door in my house that I bought to keep them safe, it won't end like that. I can tell you that. That's why God invented screwdrivers. Let's see how you slam a door. No door.
Screwdrivers?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I take off the door.
No. Why are you drinking when things are happening?
Look.
I mean, I understand screwdrivers are a good drink, but
we're still going down this road. We're not going to stop.
I never stop. Don't you know?
So back to the movie. So the kids are all right, as Douglas and Andrew said. It's a movie about lesbian parents who had children from the sperm donor Mark Ruffalo, and the children have decided they want to meet Mark Ruffalo, and he comes in and
disrupts the entire family dynamic. He is a... She called him a word at the end of the movie. Mark Ruffalo. She called him a... passerby or something. Some harsh word. But he came in and he's a hippie. He grows his own foods and bangs everything in sight. A hippie.
Except he has a bit more of a haircut than usual.
Fair enough. But everyone likes him except one of the parents.
No, actually, and I would say it's not just the parents. The children are not...
No, the children...
No. Laser isn't
right,
a big fan.
At first, but by the
As he progresses,
he was playing basketball with him.
Well, he played with him once, and then he got...
It was clear that they were doing more. He was
That's true.
Everybody
yeah.
was enjoying himself, and the alpha female...
Annette Bening
took exception.
I have a... There are words for that right there.
Took exception, and... It put a strain on the family relationship.
By the way, can I tell you, I really love the scene where Annette Bening started to actually bond with Mark Ruffalo.
Right, the scene.
Yeah.
That was a really good scene.
And then she goes sideways.
Yeah.
And by the end of the movie, things, as the title says, things work out. The kids...
They're all right.
This movie is more than all right. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's... I can't tell you now. It's in the top 10 for the year. Easily.
Oh, that's
I'm not sure about that. It's... Well, you see, for me, it is only because I haven't really watched that many good movies this year.
They're not that many.
I think that's why Damien is already...
I'm looking both at the past and the future. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this will... This is make it. This is an easy call. I don't know how high it will be at the end of the year. But it's definitely there. I really enjoyed the movie. Ruffalo, he does this. I've seen him do this in so many movies. He just waltz into the movie and it's like, oh, you guys making an indie movie? I'll be in the movie.
I'm cool like that.
And he just...
He just works.
Works.
Yeah.
I really like what the director did. The resolution of this movie, because how it was playing out before to the lead up to the end of the movie, you thought that it might have gone one way, but by the end of the movie, the movie earns the resolution that it has, and you don't feel anything I said here will give away what happens in the movie. The ending is good.
I love that this movie has no real resolution. There's a resolution between a couple of people in this film, mm-hmm. but there are threads, there are stories that are not resolved, and it's just kind of left open.
It's a slice of life movie that does
say, yeah.
We're going to start here.
I love that.
And we end here. And that's
exactly. And it's not like this is a whole story
right.
that needs to be...
right. It doesn't
needs to come together.
Right.
It's just this is what happened. And...
right. This is a situation.
This is a situation. We're going to, after a while, focus a little bit on this and resolve that. But you know what? We don't need to worry about everything. And I thought that was great. A lot of movies... pride themselves or feel like they need to resolve
everything up.
Exactly. And there was a lot left open in this film, and I thought that was fine. It worked really well with what happened. I thought Annette Bening was fantastic. So was Julianne Moore. But really everybody was. I mean, I guess the kids were
alright.
They were alright. They weren't spectacular, but at the same time, you know what? They did exactly what they needed to do. So maybe that was spectacular.
Baseball
from
brats that should have
you know?
Been punched. Sticking to my guns here.
But this movie really was a highlight. I'm happy that I broke my rule. Lately, I've been watching nothing but TV shows. And a couple of weeks ago, I was going through my library and I saw this movie and I said, you know what? I'm going to watch this. And I'm happy that I watched this movie instead of a couple other episodes or something that's not that great.
I have to ask, I've noticed over the years, and it might be just something fleeting in films, with Julianne Moore, but people tend to have this fixation with seeing her naked, and I have to say, what's the big deal?
She's comfortable being naked.
What? She wasn't naked in 30 Rock, what are you talking about?
Because that was TV.
Well, how many times has she been naked? She's been naked in this, and she's been naked in The Big Lebowski, but that was like leagues away from the camera. So what are you talking about?
She was
about?
In A Single Man last year. Yeah, but
She was
naked then. She was in a couple movies before that.
Wait, Damien, was she naked in Boogie Nights? I don't remember seeing her naked.
Probably for like half a second. No, I'm pretty sure she was.
A lot of people were naked in that movie. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure she was.
Well, one thing that...
Also, Boogie Nights was at least 12 years ago. I was still in high school.
Was it in 95?
Yeah. I don't know. It was the 90s.
I was in like 4th or 5th form.
Anyways, one thing that I kind of wasn't a fan of, but I'm sure it was intentional for the film and for the narrative, was with Mark Ruffalo's character towards the end of the film, when he felt that what had happened had earned him the right to try and insert himself.
He's a hippie. That's how hippies think.
It just felt so... how could he have thought that was the right way to move forward?
Yeah, but think about it. If you didn't know you had children, and you met these people who you started to consider yourself as part of their family, then... Anything I say is spoilers. I can't really.
I mean,
Alice Creed has scared him.
No.
But no, here's
this
the thing.
Is a good movie.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, but
Alice Creed won.
Shit. Seriously, though, Andrew. I mean, I understand his point of view. At the same time, I understand everybody else's point of view. I mean,
yes, he's a dirty hippie. That's all they think.
Yeah, but you know, he's found out he's got his children and. He doesn't try... I don't think he tries to insert himself as such.
He just wants to be a part.
Exactly, he wants to be a part. No. And every once in a while, he might have an opinion about something. Yeah. And it's not as if he's condemning anybody or... He's just like, you know what? Let me say my piece.
He wants to be part of the...
Yeah, he wants to be part of the thing.
That's why I do this podcast, to be interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's probably... I don't think so, though. I think...
That and you're the only people I can talk to about movies.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think what he's really out for is for this to become Damien and Friends, the podcast.
Yeah,
that's what this should be.
Yeah, sure.
For in his mind.
Right. You nailed it, though. Damien and Drunk Bastards, the podcast.
The Alcoholics and Damien.
No, Damien and the Alcoholics. Get it right. Damien is top billing.
Damn right. So I get paid the big bucks. I'm being paid for this, sir.
Anyways, I guess we can wrap up at this point.
Sure.
Yeah, so thanks for listening. You can find all of my writings at gmanreviews.com. This is Andrew and...
Damien.
And I think Douglas is here, but I'm not sure. Am I here?
Stop.
As usual, you can try to find Douglas, but he won't be very easy. The best place is on Twitter. He's DJ. I lost his name.
Yes, I am.
You can find me on Twitter at GMindReviews. Douglas has some websites which he doesn't update. It's
MashBits.com. You can try MashBits.com. I don't really update that one. DecaffeinationReport.com is a new website. It does actually have things on it. It has a coming soon page with links to the Decaffeination Report. There are two Decaffeination Reports that have been posted on gmanreviews.com and those are the articles that are posted there. I do expect within, say, another couple of weeks to have an article about at least two articles within 3 weeks. One I want to talk about Jamaican movies, another one I want to talk about Better Must Come. and so hopefully those will be up. I'm not sure if I will have the site up by then, but at least they will be on gmanreviews.com. And so you can find me there. You can find me the Caffeination Report. You can find me maybe a year ago at mashbiz.com. And like Andrew said, I'm a DJ R lost his name on Twitter.
Find Damon on Sokani.
So thanks for listening and good night.
I am
on a lonely road and I am traveling, looking for something. What can it be? Oh, I hate you sometimes.